For all our sexumferent force is anathema. We get this from Paul both in his advice to not allow wrath a place in our hearts. Quote, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Unquote. And as well in his method just discussed for how to end the system, the method of decommissioning, the absence of force of which we are gaining the language to explain with Proudhon and Paul officiating. But force being anathema makes precepts, which are injunctions as to moral conduct or maxims, challenging for us, for we frontliners in the cause of establishing freedom globally. So one of our tasks is to harmonize Paul's behavioral guidance with Alice's anti-pedagogy stance. Toward that end, let's consider, for example, this story from a section titled Gentle Violence in Alice Miller's book, For Your Own Good, Hidden Cruelty in Child Rearing and the Roots of Violence, in the chapter Is There a Harmless Pedagogy? And we first discussed this passage in our Waking Up show of January 3rd, 2016. And this is a quote from Alice Miller. A young 19th century missionary and his wife went to Africa to convert people to Christianity. Through his work, this man was able to free himself of the tormenting religious doubts of his youth. At last, he became a true Christian who, like his father before him, gave his all to transmitting his faith to others. The couple had 10 children, 8 of whom were sent to Europe as soon as they were old enough to go to school. One of the children was the future father of A. A is her patient. And he always told his only son how lucky he, the son, was to grow up at home with his family. He himself, after being sent away to school as a little boy, had not seen his parents again until he was 30 years old. A described his father as kind, good-natured, understanding, appreciative, contented, and genuinely devout. All his family and friends also admitted these qualities in him, and there was no ready explanation for why his son, having such a kind-hearted father, should develop a severe obsessional neurosis. Since childhood, A had been burdened with disturbing obsessive thoughts of an aggressive nature, but he was unable to experience feelings of annoyance or frustration, to say nothing of anger or rage, in response to actual frustrations. He also had suffered since childhood because he had not, quote-unquote, inherited his father's serene, natural, trusting piety. He attempted to attain it by reading devotional literature, but bad, quote-unquote, because critical thoughts, which filled him with panic, always stood in the way. In his analysis, A was now able to acknowledge the helpless rage he felt at the terrible constrictions that had been imposed on him by his father's attitude. He was expected to be, like his father, good-natured, kind, appreciative, undemanding, not to cry, always to see everything from the positive side, never to be critical, never to be dissatisfied, always to think of those who were much worse off. A's previously unrecognized feelings of rebelliousness revealed to him the narrow confines of his childhood, from which everything had to be banished that was not suitable for his devout and sunny nursery, unquote, from Alice Miller's For Your Own Good. Paul's guidance in the hands of power-fed institutions are used to reinforce power's principle of obedience. He was expected to be this patient of Alice's, like his father, good-natured, kind, appreciative, undemanding, not to cry, always see everything from the positive side, never to be critical, never dissatisfied, always thinking of those much worse off, i.e., to not listen to his body, which is the opposite of what Paul is saying. What Paul is doing, like Prince, is showing us. He's saying, this is what it feels like to be in with the infinite. Or to use Alice's language, to own your true self. When Paul says, I paraphrase, in the aftermath of punishing torture by the power guys, go right to prayer, that's like saying grab the overhead rail when entering a curve. Paul least of all would want to see pretense. Let love be without dissimulation, he says. But who could understand him who had not gone through what he did? Socrates' dilemma again. And as we said, Paul had no equivalents. It would be hard for the class-bound human to fully understand him. And I have to add, as these are difficult times, with the horror sinking in of all the moral evil done by these power men while we were kept asleep, causing us such grief, that the idea that I could have lived my life without knowing the full extent of these hidden guys messing in and with our lives, causing so much sadness, ill health, and death is infinitely more horrible to me, though to know swells our hearts with sadness. The truth is better, for we are problem solvers and determined we will be rid of them.